Thank you.
Here we go.
This is one of those mornings. Got all ready to get out of the house and I couldn't find the car keys. They're in a bag. Yeah, in one of those crevices.
Wonderful. Okay, welcome. Those that are here, those that are listening online, we are looking at Nehemiah today. Nehemiah. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being together. Thank you for the opportunity of having a look at your word. And this particular man called Nehemiah has his own book as well. So we just pray you give us wisdom and insight as we look at this amazing servant of yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we'll start, as we do, Nehemiah. We'll go with calling. We'll go with strengths and weaknesses, and then we'll go with legacy. I'll change pen. No? Okay, so tell me, what do you know? What do we know about Nehemiah?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Can't remember.
Yeah, I feel the...
It's blank.
Yeah.
So we know Nehemiah. What are some of his accomplishments then? What are some of the things that we do, you know, if we don't go to strengths or weaknesses or legacy, some of the activity? What's the main thing that, if we push a little bit, we would say, oh yes, that was Nehemiah.
A prophet?
A prophet, yeah. So definitely he's a prophet. He had a message.
He was a high-ranking official for the king.
Yeah, he was the king's cupbearer, wasn't he?
Yep.
Very important role. Yeah, high position, cupbearer. One of the responsibilities of the cupbearer was to make sure that whenever the king drank wine, that it didn't have poison in it. So, a significant role. He was a builder.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
A builder.
A builder.
Of people. A builder.
A builder.
Oh. Wasn't that later on when he went back to Jerusalem and then got involved in the rebuilding of the wall?
There we go. So when we think of Nehemiah, let's think of him rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the gates. Gates speak of authority. Mm-hmm. So his city, Jerusalem, lays in ruins. The enemies come in, being decimated. And Nehemiah sees this. This is my city. And so he ends up, as a builder, taking on the project of rebuilding the walls and re-establishing the gates. And he does it in record time, doesn't he? Can you remember?
Mm-hmm. 52 days.
Yeah. 52 days. It's a miracle. Yeah. To re-establish, you know, the walls, rebuild them, and the gates. So I think you would say that that is probably one of the significant accomplishments of Nehemiah. Probably motivated by his own, this is my city, his people, you know, my tribe, you know, why has this happened to us? And so he takes it upon himself. I mean, we're going to connect it to calling in a minute, but he takes it upon himself then to, you know, takes this project on, doesn't he? And he sees it through. Nehemiah, his name means comforts.
Do you want to use the red one? There's a red marker on the thing.
That'd be better. I forgot.
I thought you organised this morning.
No, I forgot my notes and the texter.
Not much better, sorry.
It must be something on the board.
There's a green one.
So when the pens are dying, that's how they go.
That's right.
Go for it.
Yeah, so his name means comfort. God comforts, or comforted by God, to console. Whenever we think about Nehemiah, we should think about Ezra. You heard about him?
Mm-hmm.
They're contemporaries. The book of Nehemiah and then Ezra, they're like a hand in a glove, you know? Nehemiah and Ezra. Yeah, one of the prophets sits alongside Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. As you said, he's a high-ranking Jewish official. Yeah, becomes a pivotal leader. For me, Nehemiah is probably my go-to guy for leadership in the Bible. If I want to look at a leader in the Bible, then in terms of character and in terms of strength and in some sense almost the absence of weaknesses, then I'm going to go to Nehemiah. He's a great leader in the Bible. Yeah, not perfect, but certainly to me is a prime example of leadership and executing leadership. And we'll get to that in a moment. So if we paint a little bit of his picture there in relation to calling, because we've been looking at that, I might mention, I know there's quite a few notes this time, I've got a bit carried away. Sorry about that. But I just wanted to make mention of what we have discovered in relation to these people that we're looking at is the word favour. Because when we look at Nehemiah, we also find the favour of God upon his life. Why Nehemiah? Why Adam? Why Noah? Why Abraham? And each time, have you noticed, we connect it to favour. It's connected to favour. Mm. You know, Nehemiah, the last words that he speaks before he passes away, he speaks of, find favour on me that I might be with you. You know, So there's this connection of favour. Let's just look at this builder. Unlike Noah, this guy is a builder. So we look at, I'll put it here too. We look at the strength of a visionary leader. He has this vision. He sees the desolation of the city, and he has this thought, and he has this vision. This shouldn't be this way. I'm going to do several things. And the first thing is he does petition God. So he goes to God. Some have seen that as perhaps a weakness in that he takes this vision to God. And I think if I remember correctly, he speaks with God about this vision of building the city for 4 months.
Hmm.
4 months is a long time, to have this vision and petition God. God, you know, can I do it? God, would you help me? God, would you give me permission to rebuild it? So he spends 4 months petitioning God. At some point, at the end of 4 months, he feels the release or he feels the calling to proceed with this project. He then, the scripture tells us, he goes to the king, which is very, very interesting that he goes to the king of whom he has favour with the king. So if we look at it, then he gets the favour of God, go do it. Then he goes to the king, and because he's already in relationship with the king, he's the king's cupbearer.
Mm.
So he's already in.
Mm.
He's already got a seat at the table of the king. He's there by his side. If you picture every time the king sits down to eat, Nehemiah's there making sure there's no poison, making sure everything's safe, you know, as the cup bearer. So he's got favour with the king. So he presents this vision to the king. And if you, we won't read it, but it's there. He says to the king, you know, I'm going to need your permission to do this. I'm going to need your resources to do this. I'm going to need your finances to do this. I'm going to need you, your protection against the enemies, and we'll come to them in a minute, for this project. And the king writes a decree. And so Nehemiah's got the favour of God, the favour of the king, And then later on, we find that he also is able to, through good leadership, vision and leadership, he's able to get the favor of the people. There's a beautiful verse there in chapter 6 where it says, "And the people said, let us do this great work." How beautiful is that? When a leader has a vision and then takes it to God, takes it to the, say we locate it to our church, take it to council or to staff, and they say yes, and then we go to the people, you know, people in the pews, and they say, yeah, that's great, we're on board, you know. And you've got this favour, the favour of God and the favour of man. And so Nehemiah gets this favour. We'll connect it to calling. And so he's got God's permission, he's got his decree, and then he goes to work and he rebuilds these walls. The walls are about protection, aren't they? Yep. It's what protects the people, you know. And it's about, the gates are about authority. The gates are very significant in the Bible, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Right through Old and New Testament, you read about the gates. You know, they're that entry point. We're probably most familiar with it in the New Testament. Those that were caught in adultery, they're set outside the gates of the city. Mm-hmm. Those with leprosy are taken out the gates. They're on the other side of the wall, the other side of the gate. There's a lot of stories about, and a lot of miracles and ministry that takes place at the gates of the city. Yeah. So he rebuilds the walls and the gates. So he is a builder, and he does it in 52 days. We'll get to it in a minute. It's quite a miracle to accomplish that. What else is Nehemiah? I'm asking you, but you've said you don't know, so well, I don't want to end up preaching you, right? But he's also a social reformer, isn't he? He wants these gates and these walls are built, then he becomes as the governor. So he goes on, in terms of his favour with the king, he goes on to then be a governor. Mm-hmm. So he moves from cupbearer to governor. Faithful in the little, gets given more, and becomes governor. And as governor, he addresses a lot of social reform. So the exploitation of the poor by the wealthy. He engages in the cancellation of debts, returns property back to the community, that's which has been stolen by the government. And so he engages in a lot of social reform. We'll get to it in a minute, but the one thing about Nehemiah is a go-to for people that want to engage in church and politics. And Nehemiah is often the go-to person because he's one of few prime examples in the Bible of a leader who's both in government and in church. And so that relationship between, whether they say state and church, he's a good guy to go to, not for a blueprint, but certainly an example of Christians being involved in politics.
Yep.
Because Nehemiah was. He had the favour of the king. He had the favour of the mayor, of the prime minister, you know, and was able to engage in a lot of social reform because of that position as governor. And also Nehemiah was involved in a lot of religious renewal as well. So he brings the people back. Because by now, the people have gone back to idolatry. The people have gone back to their way of, you know, living. And so he brings them back. And this is where he connects with Ezra. And the two of them spearhead religious renewal. They go back to observing the laws of Moses. We looked at that last week or the week before, which the people have now departed from. Mm. It's always interesting, isn't it, how that if you look at the people of Israel and how they are so dependent upon, and this is the contrast between the people of Israel and you and I, well, it should be, in that they are so dependent upon the leader. They're so dependent upon Abraham. They're so dependent upon Joshua. They're so dependent upon Moses. Now they're dependent upon Nehemiah and Ezra to bring them back into right relationship, into right living. And I guess I have to continually check myself that I don't become, as the pastor, the Messiah. I'll help you, you know. Mm. You'll need me. Or I, like the Catholic priest, dare I say, who wants you to be dependent upon them for the forgiveness of your sin.
Mm.
Who wants you to be dependent upon them for the reading of the scriptures.
Yeah.
You know. Now hang on a minute. We have all got access to God. But that's the story of Israel, isn't it?
Mm.
They continually are dependent upon the next leader to take them through. Interestingly about Nehemiah, now you mentioned he's a prophet. What's the significance of Nehemiah as prophet? Yes, he's a contemporary to Haggai and Zechariah, but he is actually what, as in terms of prophet?
Mm.
You'll know this. I'll push you a little bit on this one. You've got to do something today. You know, Paul. Nehemiah the prophet, and then who's the next prophet? Now I'm giving it away.
I'm honestly brain dead this morning.
To Jesus.
Yeah, I knew you'd know, Paul, yeah. It's quite significant that the Jewish people, this is the last prophet God gives them.
Oh, okay.
Yes. This is it. There's been a whole long line of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've all had the same message. They've engaged in different activity, but most of them, it has been religious renewal. Let's go back to the law of Moses. You've forgotten it, right? Breaking all the commandments, bring them back, bring them back, bring them back. God brings them back through the prophets, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Come back to me. You're still my people. I'm still your God. But Nehemiah's the last. There's almost a sense, give me a little bit of leeway here, there's almost a sense that God says, okay, how much longer am I going to keep giving you prophets with the same message? Come back to me. I'm your God, you're my people. So Nehemiah's the last. So I guess God must have said, if I can speak on behalf of God, this is the last.
Mm.
And the next, some 400 to 600 years later, they go prophetless. The blank page in the middle of the New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, 400 years.
Mm.
And the next prophet is
Jesus.
Mm.
And if we follow legacy, Nehemiah is part of that legacy. We go right back to David, don't we?
Mm.
Back to Abraham. Back to, that whole lineage, that line. So Nehemiah is the last of them. And then God says, okay, I'll give you Jesus now. Oh, wow. And I think we have to remind ourselves about that, don't we? We don't need the prophet. We don't need the priest.
Mm.
We're all priests. We're all prophets, in a sense. We've all got the message that we should be declaring. And it's the same message that Nehemiah had. And we too can engage in social reform. We too can engage in religious reform, calling people back on behalf of God. Isn't that what Paul said? I beseech you, I implore you, on behalf of God, we're ambassadors for Christ, I implore you. So, he's a builder, he's a social reformer, he's a religious, engaged in renewal. Pause there for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Reflection. You can have a look at the notes there if we go into some of the roles of the cupbearer, safety, security, advisor, his influence, trust. He gets this favor because he's trusted. The king trusts him. He provides military escort for this job of rebuilding the walls because of trust. Yeah, he's earned trust. And then goes on to be governor. You can see in the notes there his calling. There's a bit more detail, a bit more information there. The burden that he carries, the position, the prayer, the authorization that he gets from the king. Let's talk a little bit about the building. Let's talk a little bit about the opposition that he faces. in line with his strengths. So I've listed his strengths there for you to have a look at. Prayerfulness, selflessness, resilience, some of these character traits. But let's talk about the opposition. The opposition to Nehemiah and the opposition to specifically the building of the walls. Talk to me about that. What do you remember about that while I have a drink?
I'm not sure if it's Chronicles or whatever, but I remember reading somewhere that he was constantly challenged. There were two people that were always going back to somebody saying, you know, we need to stop. This can't go forward. But I don't remember who and I don't remember where exactly, but I do remember that he was challenged.
Yeah.
With being able to rebuild.
There was two key people that challenged him, wasn't it? Mm. Their names are Sanballat.
Yes, Sanballat and Tobiah.
Yeah. I'm not going to remember how to spell that.
T-A-B-I-A-H.
Tobiah.
T-O-B.
The two significant people that are on the other side of the wall.
Yep.
Opposition often comes from people on the other side of the wall. They're not in-house. They might look like they're in-house because they can have a look, they can have a language. But these two people, these two men, are on the outside of the wall and they are the main proponents for the opposition to this building. Yeah? And they gather their support, don't they? They gather their people to come against the building of the wall. I think toward the end of your notes there, I have put, I think we'll go to it now. I think you might not have, there might be a page missing here. No, here it is. The opposition. Do you know anything about, you've named them, who they are? Their opposition.
He's got my notes.
Yeah, what's the heading of where you're at the moment?
Yeah, so I should put page numbers on these actually. Under point six, vulnerability to burnout, and we've got that. You're right with the spelling there. Well done, Sanballat and Tobiah. There's a heading there that says leadership lesson.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to draw our attention to the opposition for a moment because this is what Nehemiah withstands. The opposition to the building of the wall by Sanballat and Tobiah. And we read there, it's in chapter 6 and verse 16. And it says there, and it gives us the understanding, three things. Number one, people are talking. Number two, enemies are listening. And number three, nations are watching. When we think about Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the wall, people were talking about it. It was a big topic of conversation. Have you heard about that Nehemiah guy? He's rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Really? Wow. People are talking about it, both in-house and outside, right? On both sides of the fence, people are talking about it. We know people are talking about it because it specifically says that the enemies were listening. Sanballat and Tobiah, the leaders of the opposition, right, and their band of merry men are listening to the conversations that are being had. And to me, there's a strong leadership lesson here in that, particularly for us, and we can look at, and I'm not trying to be direct by being indirect here, but the conversations that we have and the talk that we have amongst ourselves as Camden Valley Church, we have to remind ourselves that people are listening. Hmm. Have you heard about Camden Valley Church? Oh yes, I heard somebody or I know somebody, and yeah, they were saying there's a lot of trouble there. Oh yeah, they were saying the pastor there, he's very selfish. Or, oh yeah, the people there aren't friendly. Yeah, people are talking, people are listening. And in this case here, there was talk. And the talk within the community was very positive. The people had a will to work. The people were engaged. Nehemiah and his leadership had gathered both men and women and children. And the picture that's painted in the story is that they were had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. And they're rebuilding these walls and at the same time protecting what they're building as they're under attack, both physical and verbal attack. So there's a very, very much a sense of faith. God's in this project, and the talk is positive, the talk is faith-filled as they go about this project. So what the enemies are hearing is not negativity, is not criticism of the leadership, is not, in fact, on one occasion, it does come back to Nehemiah that the people are starting to complain and grumble about, and I'll use the word partial care, the work was so heavy, they finished it in 52 days, non-stop. The picture painted is that wives were saying, I haven't seen my husband for a month, you know. Even my teenage kids are there with a trowel in one hand and a weapon in the other, you know. And so Nehemiah stops in the middle of that 52 days. He stops and he addresses the care and the need of the people. That's why, to me, a great leader. Yeah? We're not just going to keep pushing through. Okay, let's take a break, you know. So people are listening, enemies, people are talking, enemies are listening, and the nations are watching. All of the other nations, all of the other tribes were watching this work. Let's just see how Nehemiah goes here. Let's see this great project. Yeah, we know he's the cupbearer. You know, he's the governor. He's got the favour of the king. Yeah, he's the golden child. Let's just see if he can do this job, though. And he completes it in 52 days. Very significant. This is what the enemies who were listening to the talk and watching, this is what they said of the job when it was completed. They said, and it was completed, they finished it in 52 days. This is what they said. They must have God on their side. God must be involved in that project. They recognized that human effort alone did not complete this job in 52 days. That's pretty cool. Mm. We acknowledge that God's, yeah, Nehemiah's got God on side. Well, we know it's the other way around, really. But there's this connection between Nehemiah and God in this project. I believe that for our church. I hope that the talk amongst our church is positive, it's faith-filled. It's honest, yes. We want it to be honest. We want it to be authentic. Because we know people are listening, both in and out. And they're watching as well. They're watching. Well, what's happening with Camden Valley Church? People are watching, you know. More than ever, I think, because of all of the scandal and that that's happening in the church. People are watching. Is everything good there? What's happening in that church, you know? So, that to me is a good leadership lesson there. So this opposition, you know, in the end, Sanballat and Tobiah, they are the ones that say, well, we came against it. We did our best to put a stop to that work, but we couldn't, because at the end of the day, we weren't just up against Nehemiah, we're up against God. Mm-hmm. And that's a no win, isn't mm-hmm. it? Yeah. So to me, that's a great strength, isn't it, of him, that he was able to withstand the opposition. And, you know, you can look at some of his gifts there, of prayer, etc. I did have... one of the things that Nehemiah is known for is his prayer. When we think of great prayers in the Bible, we automatically go to...
Moses.
The Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer.
Sorry.
We go to the Lord's Prayer. Now, this is how you should pray. Or, what What's the other significant prayer in the Old Testament? It's often preached about 10, 15 years ago. There was a resurgence of this prayer in the Old Testament.
Oh.
You know it?
Yeah, I do.
It was a prayer that was prayed. And it became the prayer of? As soon as I give you the first letter, you'll know it. J?
Yeah.
I'm not telling you.
This is
you know
too.
You would have heard of it.
My memory is not real good.
Jacob. No.
Yeah, well, you got the A, yeah.
This is so annoying.
It's in you.
Yeah, I know.
I'm bringing it out.
It's so deep.
Became really popular,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah,
books were written on it, and
yeah.
Everyone was encouraged to pray the prayer of...
Not Jacob.
No,
it was a prayer of blessing. Wasn't it? God bless me.
Oh, this is so annoying.
Should we play Hangman?
No.
Those of you listening online, do you know?
Is it not Jeremiah?
No, that's not Jeremiah. It's J.A.
It's J.A.
I'm not real good.
And there's only two more letters.
Jacob.
Well, no. Jacob's got more than four letters.
Oh, Jacob. J-A-Y. Oh, dear.
All right, let's go. B.
Oh,
actually, I'm wrong. It's five letters. Right. I can't even spell. The prayer of Jabez.
Yeah, you knew it.
I've never heard of it.
It was a big thing about it about 15 years ago.
Oh,
Jeremy said.
Have a look at it. It's a great prayer to pray.
It is.
It's not a substitute for the Lord's Prayer. But the point that I want to make here is I just want to draw your attention to the prayer that Nehemiah prayed. A lot of people who are given to intercessory prayer will go to Nehemiah for an example of intercessory prayer. You know, that prayer that carries the burden, carries the weight of primarily others, but it can be yourself, in which you're continually carrying that and presenting that to God. You're interceding on behalf of other people. So intercessory prayer, yeah? Mm-hmm. So it's actually a good model of intercessory prayer. So after he finishes the rebuilding of the wall, so in your notes there, it's recorded after he learned of Jerusalem's walls were broken, people are in distress, and it starts with deep confession. In fact, the prayer of Jabez, the prayer of Nehemiah is grounded in repentance. Nehemiah, in this 4 months, this is what he's doing in the 4 months, petitioning God with intercessory prayer. God, forgive your people. He comes to God with, not first of all, I want to build the wall and give me the strength to build the wall and bless me so I can build the wall. He comes with that deep confession of our people, my people, our people, your people, we have strayed. We have gone astray. We have gone back to our world. Please forgive us. You know, Jesus points that out in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. So there's that deep intercessory prayer, that confession. We're in the wrong, right? And then the prayer focuses on the covenant faithfulness of God. Okay, we're sinners, we've done the wrong thing, forgive us, but we're leaning into your covenant. We're leaning into, we are your people, you are our God. We're reminding of you. Have you ever been in prayer and you find yourself reminding God of his word? Mm. God, you said that you'll provide. God, you said you'll forgive. God, you said you'll give me peace. God, you said you'll give me rest, you know. I find my prayers are a lot reminding God, not that he needs to be reminded, but I'm reminding God of his covenant with us. And Nehemiah is an example of that. And then, of course, we do get this in his prayer, this bold request for success in the rebuilding of the walls. I'm going to take on this project, give me your favour, but give me success. Yeah. In other words, I'm going to take on this massive project, I don't think he would have thought that he would have finished it in 52 days, but that's success. Mm-hmm. God connected to the project, you know, through the king, and he gets that success in the rebuilding. So it's bold, isn't it? So in the notes there, maybe in this week, have a look at those aspects of his prayer: the acknowledgement, the praise, the confession, the promises, and then this request to give permission and success in the building of the wall. It's an example of confidence in prayer to me. We can go to God and we can ask for his favour and his success. In the notes I've given us something there in relation to Nehemiah and politics. I don't know if you want to go there with that as an example there. I remember I was speaking with somebody recently, actually the leader of the Christian, is it the Christian Democratic Party? I forget now. I forget the name. He lives in Toowoomba. And I was asking him, what does Australian politics really need? Because we've had Christian prime ministers, haven't we? And a lot of, I don't know about you guys, but I've grown up in a church that ended up being the pastor of that church was the founder of Family First Party, Andrew Evans. Mm. And there was a big, celebration that we've got a Christian in politics. And I'm sure they're making their mark, Family First. But what this guy said to me was, it's not just about having a Christian Prime Minister, because we had that, and he quoted too. He quoted Kevin Rudd, interestingly. And I wouldn't have connected that, but he said he is. And then he connected it, of course, to Scott Morrison, just been given a copy of his book that he's written. But what he said to me is, we don't so much need Christian Prime Minister, we just need Christian people in all levels of government. Mm. Local council, state, federal, and I think if you look at it, Nehemiah is an example of, he started as a cupbearer, then became governor, after he rebuilt the walls, I think we'll find. So there is something to be said for that relationship between church and state. In terms of witnesses, I put it in the notes there. I put a list there of strengths or weaknesses under the heading there, Nehemiah and character, strengths or weaknesses. And I listed a few things there. The initial lack of preparedness. Some might say that was a weakness. I actually think it was a strength that he took the time, 4 months, to prepare for the project. Didn't just race into it. He did have deep-seated fear and anxiety about it. He was terrified, actually, the scripture says, of going to the king. Even though he sat in a seat of favour, he did exhibit fear and anxiety about going there. It speaks to his humanity, doesn't it?
Well, it says in the notes that it was his job to always sort of be happy and, keep a good mood. And he took his pain to the king, and he knew he could be fired or killed.
Correct.
For that. And but the king, obviously he had built such a great relationship with the king, that the king saw his need and said, well, tell me what you need. And
I think there's an attraction there of the vulnerability.
Could also have gone beyond that too. The king would have seen who he was as a person too. Because he would have seen who he was as a person.
Yeah.
So his prayerfulness and his leadership within would have been noticed. Like his character would have been noticed by the king. So the king would also see that in his decision as well.
I think you'd have to say that the king would have had his own weaknesses.
Of course.
And his own fears and anxiety. And so he, to accommodate that, he's brought in Nehemiah, who bring the good vibes, you know, to help me. You know, David did the same thing, didn't he? He was called by whoever it was to come and play the harp to bring those good vibes, you know. So maybe that, as you're saying, okay, I can see you're nervous, you're anxious about this, but you're a good man and I'm going to grant you that permission. So it's not a weakness, that fear and anxiety, you know. The need for self-justifying prayer, I don't see that as a weakness. I think the reason I put this in the notes is for us to ask ourselves the question, are they strengths or weaknesses?
Was it relational with God? Like he had such a relationship with God that he knew he could go into conversation with him and sort of chew the cud with him, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be very honest with God. He didn't have to, you know, present everything's okay.
Because of his relationship.
Yeah.
That's right. And so can we.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. We don't have to cower. There was an incident there, his aggressive behaviour when dealing with the Israelites. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, people had started marrying foreign women.
They pull their hair out and beat them up.
Yeah. So do we look at that as a weakness, or do we look at that as righteous anger, maybe? The same of Jesus when he overturned the tables in the temple. Was that a moment of weakness? Perhaps more a moment of strength. So anyway, we can look at that. I did put in the notes there that in terms of calling, I think we can link Nehemiah as having the gift of leadership. And if we go to the New Testament and look at the giftings, leadership is a gift, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And to him who leads, let him lead with diligence, it says, which is the characteristic of leadership. It's diligent leadership. But Nehemiah is a prime example of someone who has the spiritual gift of leadership. And that's why I like him. I go to that. He wasn't just a guy who just gave it a crack in his own strength. He was gifted by God. The calling on God was that of a leader, and he exercised that leadership. In summary, Nehemiah is a good argument for Christians to be involved in public life, seeking justice, protecting the vulnerable, maintaining integrity. His story is best used to argue that faithful leadership, regardless of the setting, requires prayer, strategic action, commitment to righteousness. Yeah, you've got it there. There we go. Nehemiah. Next week, Peter Wilson will be with us, and he's going to bring us Jonah.
Okay.
So we're going to skip David. I know in that line, I was trying to go in line, but that's when Peter was available and he wanted to do Jonah. So next week, I've got the week off actually, because in the first service here, we'll have Peter Wilson on Jonah. So I don't know if he'll have notes and post them.
Okay.
But that's why I'm just letting you know.
So you read through Jonah.
Have a look at Jonah. Yeah. That's where Peter will lead us. And then in the second service, we've got the Castellans coming.
Okay.
So our missionaries that we support, you know, we've got Nat and Steve. I better not say you're listening, Nat and Steve. Next week we have the other family that we support, Nat and Steve, in the Castellans coming to share their story. They haven't been with us. Well, I don't think I've ever had them here. But they're back and they're on the Central Coast, so they'll be here next week. So we'll be in for a good time next Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome.
Okay.
Father, we thank you for some time together around Nehemiah. Thank you for what we're learning and reminding ourselves of. And we pray that you give us a good week and help us to connect with you and with others as we go into the second service, if that's what we're doing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Good. you. Hopefully that worked today. It didn't work last week.